Yes, it is on. So before we begin reading scripture this morning and sharing in our adult message, let's go to the Lord in prayer, in a prayer of illumination. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you this morning. We just pray over your word. We pray over the message this morning. Allow it to be used to the nourishment of our spirit and our soul. Help it to guide us in the coming week as we share your ministry with the world and those that surround us. Lord, be with us now as we read your word and share in its message. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So our scripture is 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. And in this passage, beginning at 11, I'm not going to go all the way back and read 11 through 21, but from 11 through 21, and I encourage you to go back sometime this week and follow up with this lesson in this sermon. I encourage you to do that because from 11 on, you will read about your ambassadorship to Christ Jesus. And so we're going to start again today at 17 and go through 21. So let's go and see what the Lord has to say here. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ... Let me back up to 16. It'll help you understand it. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. Now, we are different. How differently we know Him now causes us to be born again. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to Himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to Him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And He gave us the wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I explained to our young people this morning, words are powerful. In our scripture reading this morning, we learned that we are actually ambassadors for God. Our message that we carry speaks for Him. In verse 20 specifically, we learned that God makes His appeal to others through us. We actually speak for God in all of our pleas, not just for ourselves, but as well as to others. It is truly good to be back with you guys this morning after a two-week break. I've missed you. It's wonderful to be in your presence this morning. And I hope that the words that I share with you this morning are helpful in the coming week, in the days to come, as we share in this ministry here at Bethel. I want to show you through a story how powerful words can be. So listen to this story. A woman went to the doctor's office where she was seen by one of the doctors who happened to be a new doctor. But after about 4 minutes in the examination room, she burst out the door, screaming as she ran down the hall. The older doctor who had served her for many years before stopped her and asked, "What was the problem?" And she told him her story. After listening to the woman, the older doctor sat her down in another exam room and told her, "Relax, calm down, I'll be right back." With a hint of anger, the older doctor marched down the hallway to the back of the doctor's, to the physician's office, where the first doctor was, and demanded to know what in the world was his problem. The older doctor stated to the new doctor, "Mrs. Terry is 63 years old. She has 4 grown children and 7 grandchildren. and you just told her 5 minutes ago that she was pregnant. What in the world is wrong with you? The new doctor continued to write calmly on his clipboard, and without hesitation, as he looked up and stared the older doctor eyeball to eyeball, he said, "She doesn't have the hiccups anymore, does she?" Words are powerful, and so are statements. They have caused nations to rise and nations to fall. They have caused hearts to melt. They have caused relationships to form and develop. They've caused marriages to collapse. But words can also have the opposite effect. They can lull the listener and turn the listener away. So as ambassadors of Christ, we have to pay attention to our words. We have to pay attention to our communication. Even though we hope to make a message or share a message that gets across to somebody, we have to make sure that, number one, they're listening. And number two, we're not pushing them away, that we are drawing them closer. We all have experienced this in our lives. We've been in conferences, we've been in trainings, we've been in school, we've been different places in our life. I'll never forget, I attended a training. It was a very expensive training venue that we all went to many, many years ago. We traveled, we stayed, and we went to this training venue. And this guy got up, and he was supposed to be a motivational speaker. I remember leaving class on the first break and going to the bathroom, and I happened to run into several of my colleagues in there, and I said, "Well, guys, what do you think?" as they were washing their hands. And one of them said, "I think I'm going to take a bottle of water with me." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "This guy's dry as dust." What he's trying to say is, whatever, the guy was a motivational speaker, but he was not capturing his audience. He was not able to bring those people in with his message. Words are powerful. You know, we learn in Scripture in Acts 20 through the Apostle Paul that words can lull people. Even as great as a minister and a preacher that Paul was in all of his lifetime, wherever he went, he spoke the gospel, he led in the gospel, and even to Paul, if you recall in Acts 20, a young man was sitting in a window sill and he was preaching the word of God, and the next thing you know, the gentleman fell asleep and fell literally out of the window, three stories to the street. So, when I studied for this sermon, I actually tried to use that because I think it makes me feel a little bit better this morning, standing in front of you. I mean, if the Apostle Paul can put you to sleep, then I don't feel so bad if I see you nodding off today. However, our words are important. Like it or not, words impact our lives, especially in this day and age. Even as Christians, we are subject to a ton of rhetoric around us. Many people hide behind certain types of communications just to share rhetoric. And when you dissect all of that rhetoric, many times you just find that it's empty words. In the past few weeks, I endured a situation that I found myself in, along with some other trusted colleagues and friends, in a public forum where the speakers were rambling on without saying a thing, really. And it's part of the reason that I chose to speak about this message. One of the things that was shared there is their Christian faith, and they had been to church, and they had shared all this information, and then all of a sudden their dialogue turned hurtful and painful. But they were words all the same. I thought to myself as I sat there and listened to that, folks, you can't get those words back. And yet you begin your comments saying that you represent the Lord. and your faith. I don't think he'd be too happy with you at the present moment. Unfortunately, we see this too often in our lives, especially with media outlets that we can't control, especially with other types of communication that are outside of our reach or ability to control. And you know, this type of rambling that I observe, I'll use that in a term, that where words just continue to follow sentence after sentence after sentence, and really not meaning anything, and when you take it and dissect it down, much like I spoke of earlier, it's just words, and there's truly no meaning behind them. I actually see that sometimes in our personal lives and inside of our cores, in our families. We get all miscommunicated with each other. And you know, we actually see it in our churches. So many times we ramble on with a religious ease, especially in some of our worship outlay, and it becomes some sense of term, maybe a mantra, that we just simply have memorized. I'll give you an example of that. There was once a preacher who always started each of his services with, "The Lord be with you." And the congregation would then respond, "And also with you." But one Sunday, the sound system wasn't working. So being the good preacher that he was, he wanted to be forthcoming with the congregation to let them know, "It's going to be hard to hear me today." So his first words out of his mouth as he stood up to the pulpit were, "There's something wrong with this microphone." And immediately the congregation immediately responded, "And also with you." What I'm trying to say here is, through this short story, is we get ourselves in habit of conversation. We say things, we communicate in certain ways. We have to be cautious of that, even in our worship, even in our programs, even in our Christian lifestyle, especially inside of our community and our nucleus of our families and our church families. There is nothing that should be routine in our walk of faith with Jesus Christ. Absolutely nothing. Our dialogue must be especially important to us. But certainly, our actions should never be routine. We shouldn't just speak and recite the gospel because that's what we think God wants us to do in that very moment. We shouldn't just carry out our faith one day a week and come to church on Sundays because we believe that's what God wants us to do. Remember, we're ambassadors of Christ. We are followers of Jesus. Thus, we serve the Lord each and every day, in each and every conversation. God wants us to attend church because it's within us to do that. God wants us to have a godly conversation with someone we don't even know because He's calling us to do that. As followers of Christ Jesus, you and I are called to live an empowered life. And that's in the title of your message this morning. He's calling you and I to live an empowered life every day in the gospel. As Christians, we need to be more than our words and our mantra that we have memorized. It's easy for us to recite Scripture if we know it well. But what does it mean to the person we're reciting it to? We are ambassadors of Christ in all that we do. Our words, our actions, our deeds, everything that we do, even in our touch, we are His ambassador. This morning in Scripture, Paul encourages us in our text to be more than words. He encourages us, each of us, to walk in our faith. Walk in our faith. And what he speaks to is directly the power of Christ in that relationship. Thus, walk in power in Jesus Christ. You know, I dissected to the best of my ability verses 20 through 21, and I tried to come up with a sentence that would explain exactly what I believe Paul is saying. In verses 20 through 21, here's the sentence I came up with. Christianity is more than something said. It's something that is marked by a miraculous power. A power given to you by our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is more than our words. As Christians, our words are truly powerful. But so are our actions. So are the things that we do. In verse 17 this morning, shortly after we began reading the scripture, we are taught that life, that the life we live is our new life in Jesus Christ. This life is so far-reaching and complete, that is why we become a brand new person. We're born again into it because we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Friends, our empowered life begins and ends in a relationship with Christ Jesus, in a verbal dialogue, in a communication with Him daily, not just here on Sundays, but each and every day. Now, once we have it, that doesn't mean we're perfect and we're flawless and all of our bad habits and our practices vanish. But it does mean you have shed your old ways and you are new. As Christians, we are followers of Jesus and we walk in forgiveness. Thus, as ambassadors of Jesus, we share in that forgiveness. We share in that love. We share in that mercy and that grace. Unlike what I endured several weeks ago or through the last couple weeks and many others, I didn't see much sharing there. As Christians, words are powerful, but so are actions. Just remember that. You know, one of the things that I've learned in all the weeks that we're now into our third Bible study group together, it's called Not a Fan. It's an exceptional Bible study. I encourage you to come be a part of it. The very first two lessons have challenged us all in our walk of faith. And we're just in chapter 2. And what great discussions we have. But one thing I've learned is some folks, and we've talked about it in that very pavilion back there, we've talked about people having the concern that they are not qualified to be a follower or a fan or an ambassador. Thus, I have learned that many people doubt their ability to carry out this type of empowerment in their life. But each of you, I promise, each of you are endowed with God's empowerment through the Holy Spirit. It's a gift given to you. You have it. All you have to do is use it. Each of us this morning have all that we need to live a life of complete transformation. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19, 20, it tells us this. In fact, we're taught this in this very passage. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? It tells you you are the temple that carries the Holy Spirit. It then goes on to say, this Spirit is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God in your body. Meaning, be the ambassador He calls you to be. You know, one of the things that we learned and all of us experienced through COVID in the past several years was the shortage in automobiles. Many manufacturers continued to build through the crisis, but yet they had a supply and demand problem. And so many of these brand new automobiles sat on all these parking lots or places where they parked them because they didn't have a chip or they didn't have the right computer technology to make them run the way the manufacturer had designed them. This is probably a poor example of the Holy Spirit, but it's an analogy that I tried to come up with. You know, one of the things that I observed this week is a brand, it had to be a 2024 Corvette. I've never seen it. It was a Corvette. I followed it down the road until it left me quickly. But I know it had Corvette on the back, and it had to be brand new. And that car was simply amazing. And even as beautiful as it was and the way it was designed, it could not perform to the manufacturer's specifications and to the engineer's specifications without some type of power chip, some type of computer technology, some type of performance technology that's inside of that vehicle. You know, every vehicle that's sitting on a lot somewhere waiting on a chip basically is sitting there waiting on it to have a specific function. That doesn't mean you probably can't drive it. It won't turn, stop, brake, go, or get you groceries. But it's not going to perform the way it's designed to perform without that chip or without that small computer that they're waiting on. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit is to you, to each one of us. You see, we can function. We can go and do and be who we are. But with the Holy Spirit inside of us, now we are designed to perform. Now we're performing as God wants us to perform. Now we're performing as we are designed to perform as ambassadors of Christ. The Holy Spirit is your gift. But to truly be an ambassador of Jesus, you must share it. You must give it. This is the very reason in Scripture Paul said that God is his sufficiency. Meaning everything that he needed, God gave it to him through the Holy Spirit. Every single thing he needed, God gave it to him through the Holy Spirit. Paul capitalized on this Spirit-filled life as he spoke his words throughout his ministry and as he carried out all of his actions. He lived an empowered life. He is the example to you and I as followers today. Friends, in short, we must move beyond talking about it. And one of the things I will say as a man of faith is we're good about talking about our faith. It's fun to talk about our faith, especially when we are in like company. It's easy for us to talk about our faith. But as soon as that company or that situation or that group of people changes, things start to dynamically shift. What we're learning today in Scripture this morning is we must move beyond talking about it. We must begin to live it because you are ambassadors of God. We could compile many, many perks. In fact, I think they're limitless perks to being a Christian, to following Jesus. But I want to focus on just one small perk that each and every one of us have. One perk that is associated with the name Christian. That perk is that each of us have been blessed with a power that enters our life because we have bowed our heart to the Lord. We have asked Him to receive us. And thus He has given us a gift. And we are empowered with it. As I close this message, I want to ask you two questions. I asked several questions of the youth, and then I closed completely with some grandfatherly advice. And I'm going to do the same thing with you this morning. So I ask you these two questions as I close this message. As a Christian, your words matter, but so do your actions. All of us as believers in Christ Jesus, all of us sitting here as believers in Christ Jesus, can confirm without a doubt we have faith and we have accepted the Lord and Savior as ours. So it goes without saying that in Christ we have the potential to live an empowered life. Recognize the fact that I said potential. Because we believe these things and have accepted these things, we have the potential to live an empowered life in Christ Jesus. So I leave you with this. Here's your two questions. In this life, in your faith, do you just talk about it? Or do you live it? Do you just talk about your faith and your belief? Or do you live in your faith and your belief? And here's what Granddaddy would tell you. Remember, talk is cheap. Amen.